Bringing Christian greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. There's a song, and I really like it, but might be able to lead it if I'm in my room alone. On page 327 in your Christian hymnals, I'll ask the song leader to lead that. Let's all of us stand together, and this may bring some memories back to each one of us. That hallowed spot, I hope each one of us have a hallowed spot that we can look back and say, there is where that I found him as my Savior. 327. Okay. Who knows the song well enough to lead it? Brother James?
There is a spot to be more dear.
Last verse says, O sacred hour, O hallowed spot, where love divine first found me, where'er falls my distant lot, my heart shall linger round thee, and when from earth I rise to soar, up to my home in heaven, down will I cast my eyes once more, where I was first forgiven. Thank the Lord. Let's sing that last verse.
Hallowed spot where love divine first found me, wherever falls my distant lot, my heart shall linger around thee, and when from earth I rise to soar up to my home in heaven, down where
seated. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank thee this morning for the privilege we have of serving a living God. We thank the Lord that thou art alive today and forevermore. We're thankful, Lord, that the fountain is still open, that whosoever will may come and plunge into that fountain and be made every whit whole. And we pray today, Lord, that thou will give encouragement to us, give strength to each one of us, Lord. Help us to come and dine, to sit at the Master's table today, Lord, and allow thy Spirit to work in our hearts and deal with each one of us. We just ask for guidance from above. We pray that thou will have thy way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to look over in the 30th Psalm, if you'd like to turn along with us. Psalms 30. Starting there with the first verse. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Notice these next few words here. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's another scripture I'd like to look at over in Psalms 126. You'd like to look over there with me. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord God hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the desert in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their his sheaves with him. Two different scriptures. The first one speaks about weeping, enduring for the night, and joy comes in the morning. And the first one, the next one speaks about weeping, going forth weeping and bearing precious seed. And then that he said, doubtless shall come again with rejoicing, doubtless bringing his sheaves with him. That old song says, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It brought to my mind the way that Jesus took in preparing the way in his ministry. I had to think, if you look over into Matthew, the fourth chapter, his ministry started off, you might say, with a rough time of temptation. A rough time of temptation. Fourth chapter of Matthew, it speaks about Jesus being led out into the wilderness and tempted of the devil, and how that he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was hungered. And just when he was weak in the physical body, here comes the devil along to tempt him in the spiritual life. I had to think about each one of us have two hearts. And that'll give you time to sort of think this through in your head. We have two hearts. We have one that is here pumping away, and I had noticed a little track. Looks like I stuck it someplace and misplaced it. But it told all of how many times the heart beats, how that, like, if you check your heartbeat right now, if it was normal, it might be 70 or 80 beats a minute. Or maybe if your blood pressure is higher, it might be 90. It could even be 100 minutes per beats per second, beats per minute. And that little heart, it's amazing how that it just keeps right on pumping. When the holidays rolls around, it doesn't lay down and say, I've got to take a break, but it just keeps right on pumping. And when things get rough, it keeps on pumping. Sometimes when things get rough enough, it pumps more because you need more blood through your system to do whatever you're trying to do. But it's a faithful little organ in our body. And without it, if your heart stops, it's just a matter of time, just a second or just a couple of seconds until, if you're standing up, you're going to hit the floor. One contractor told me, he said, I had a heart attack, and he said it wasn't any lingering thing. He said, I just hit the floor just like that. Some people will feel it coming on, and they'll start feeling terrific chest pains. They say the chest pains are terrific as the heart is, there's some problem. It's being blocked by a blood clot. There's something taking place there, and the heart is just about ready to stop, and it's given its very best, but it's just about done. A lot of times a person will break out in a sweat and feel real faint. The heart pumps until finally there is a time when it's called cardiac arrest, and the heart stops, and that's it for us. But our other heart, the scripture speaks about our spiritual heart. And he speaks about the wonderful condition of when we can have a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that is seeking God, that is longing after God. And that's why Jesus came. He came and he went through terrific suffering. He went through terrific mocking. Probably most of us, without the help of God, there was no way that we would be able to go through what Jesus went through. I mean, they mocked him. They ridiculed him. When he went in to raise Lazarus from the dead, they mocked him again. All of these things that he did, they mocked him. But Jesus, in his time of preparation and getting ready to go out to the people that were oppressed of the devil, and the powers of darkness were assailing them, and they were sitting, the scripture says, in darkness on every side. He was led of the Spirit out into the desert, the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. And the accusation was thrown at him. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus could have taken those stones and made bread out of them. He could have made enough bread to feed another 5,000. But that wasn't his will. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil wasn't satisfied. If the devil assails you from one side and you don't fall for what he has, you resist the devil, many times he'll come at you at another angle. And here he says that he went into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And the devil can even use scriptures. I saw a man one time. We were in a large service, and it was evidently this man must have been demon possessed. I'd never seen anybody like that before. Sometimes you see people, you wonder. But this man, the service was going on, the song service was going on. All of a sudden, he started in just jumping. And I'd never seen anything since then. And it was disturbing the service. And so one of the evangelists from the platform just simply walked down there to him and held out his hand to him. And the man got his hand in and just hit the floor just like that. God's power is more powerful than the power of the devil. But let me tell you, we don't play around with the powers of darkness. We don't play around with the devil's power. He's out to get us. He's out to destroy us. But if we cling to the hand of God, then he cannot touch us. But a couple of the brethren took the man and took him out. For when disturbed the service, went down to another room and were going to pray for him. And you never saw a man that could quote scripture like that man could, whether it was in context or out of context. But we don't take the word of God and twist it around to fit our own situation. But we take God's pure, holy word just like it is, and we walk in the light and we obey God. Or we get into a dangerous situation. If we stop walking in the light and we get out in the darkness, we're open prey for the devil to destroy us. Well, the devil was coming at Jesus in this way. And he said, he setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And here is Jesus' answer, and it should be something we will never forget. That we never forget. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then we may say, well, you can do this and you can do that, and the Lord will protect you, but we're not to tempt God. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is where, if we're a real Christian, the Holy Spirit abides, and we take care of our body in all the different ways, and we don't tempt the Lord our God. I've seen many different things that people would say that were foolish, that was for sure not of God, but they were tempting God, and it's a dangerous thing to tempt God. The devil came at him again and took him to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory that was in them. And he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Fall down and worship me. How many people have fallen down and worshiped the devil because they choose to put this idol or that idol or this nice thing in front of Jesus? They choose to put what people think about them or what somebody's going to say about them in front of Jesus. And so in doing so, they have chosen to serve the devil. There's only two masters, and one's Jesus and one is the devil. And the devil has all kinds of things to offer those people that will fall in his trap. All the things in the world, but the scripture says, if we gain the whole world and we will lose our own soul. If we gain the whole world, what have we gained if we lose our own soul? We've lost everything, every single thing. I was reading that scripture the other day that it speaks about if one thing offends you, if your eye offends you, it says pluck it out. And that really sounds severe, doesn't it? Pluck it out. But how many people, their eyes offend them spiritually, and their eyes are what's going to be their downfall, that's going to cause them to lose their soul because of the things that they look at, that they don't really want people knowing about what they're looking at. But their eyes not only offending them, but it's offending the blessed Holy Spirit. And they'd be better to pluck their eyes out and to go out into eternity without any eyes than to allow their eyes to look at some of the things that they're looking at, some of the things that they're reading, some of the things that they're watching, some of the things that their fleshly heart is craving after. And then it said, if your hand offend you, it said, cut it off. And how many people, if it wasn't for their hand, that sly, slippery hand slipping in and doing things that are not supposed to be done, they say over in the little nation of Haiti, that they have rules there that if you steal things, that you steal them, your hand gets cut off just like that. If you want to be a thief, if they catch you, that hand goes off. You do it again, the next one goes off. That's severe, we say. But what can we do to stop our members to be used as members of Satan himself, as we use them for him and don't use them for the glory of God? I think Jesus did just what in temptation, when it comes at us, that the scripture tells us that we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. That's a promise. If the devil is assailing you, and let me tell you, if you really want to live a holy life, if you want to live for him, you're the devil's target. He's going to be shooting at you with everything that he has. But thank God, he gives us the victory over those things. We don't have to fall into the devil's trap. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I'd like for you to particularly notice here this is one of the special verses of this situation. And thinking about the morning, weeping in the morning, in the night, and joy comes in the morning. When Jesus came through that time of temptation, the Lord sent his angels down. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Angels ministered unto Jesus. I had to think of the birth of Jesus, how that the angels from heaven, I don't know how many there were, but multitudes of angels came down and sang and announced the birth of Jesus. And now here the angels are ministering to him, and they're not only ministers to Jesus, but they're ministers to the heirs of salvation. Now I'd like to look at another scripture over in Luke. And this is at the end of Jesus' ministry. This is after he's come through a number of things. He's been faithful. He's talked to people. He's resisted those church leaders that would have led the people in the wrong way. And he's been true to them, and now he's come to this crucial time in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verse 39. He had just sent them out without script and without shoes. And he had already asked them that question, did you lack anything? Lacked you anything? And they said nothing. If we have him, we have everything. And if we don't have him, we don't have anything. Now, in verse 39, he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And I think that should be our prayer, that Lord, we don't desire temptation. And so by not desiring temptation, we're not going to go to places where we might be tempted. Every one of us is human. And if we put ourselves in the place of temptation, that's why the old preachers would preach about going out on the beaches where there's all the immodesty, going to the pool halls, going to the golf course, going here and going there, all these places, the big league ball games, going to the places where they drink and they smoke and they curse, take the name of the Lord in vain. It's the wrong crowd to be found in. If Jesus comes, I don't want to be found in that kind of a crowd. I want to be found with his saints, with the ones that love God with all their heart. That scoffing, mocking, cursing crowd that hates our Lord. Oh, I want nothing to do with it. I want to be in the place, the holy place, the place when we can get alone with the Lord in prayer and encourage one another. And Jesus says here, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Lo, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. There again, I believe his flesh, the flesh does not want to be hurt in any way, and it draws back. But he said then, not my will, but thine be done. And here again, a very special verse right here in the midst of this terrific time of temptation. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Have you ever been in that time when you were almost in like an agony of prayer for someone that it looked like they were going to take the wrong direction, with everybody's doing their very best to try to help them? And a person, sometimes it just presses you down so that you feel like you're almost crushed. And you feel like, how can you go on? You've got to have the Lord's help. And then it seems like that he sends his messenger from heaven and God's special angel just for you in a time when you wouldn't be able to go through this temptation or this trial by yourself. But the winnowing of the air of the angel that he sent to help you, to encourage you. And it seems like that he just can lift the heavy burden. Sometimes God's children are not pressed down because of the darkness and blackness of sin, but sometimes they're pressed down because of the heaviness, the burdens that sometimes we go through. And we need the special help of God. There may be some of you even this morning that feel like you're just about to the end of the road and you need God's special help. And maybe it's one of his other children that would slip around to you and just say the words that just wanted you to know that I appreciate you. And it could be all the boost in the world just to give you that boost to get on up over that mountain and get on the way, the straight and narrow way. I remember when we'd come with the Mennonite church almost 40 years ago, and we'd gone out to some meetings. We'd never been back. We went back out to some meetings with my wife's folks in Pennsylvania. And it was the first time we'd ever been back to any of those that we would have used to have attended. And as we went there, you know, we looked somewhat different. Not a lot. But one man slipped up around where I was. We knew lots of people there. She had grown up there, knew that was their home. It's their big fellowship meeting. And man slipped around to me, and we had our family with us. They were just young at that time, probably. I don't know if we had 4, 5, 6 children, but they were young. And he whispered in my ear, said, "Steve," said, "I appreciate the way your family looks." And, you know, that gave me some real encouragement. Here is someone that wasn't just saying, "Well, you left our group and I have nothing to do with you after that." But he was a man that appreciated what we were doing our best to find the way and to walk with the Lord and to follow the scriptures and deliver him. We wasn't doing it because anybody had a big board going to hit us on the head if we didn't do it. We wasn't doing it because somebody was going to kick us out of the church or excommunicate us. We were coming this way. We weren't going the other way. And I'm glad that we don't have to. When we put our hand to the plow, we can go right on and stay in the narrow way. And when people take the way of least resistance and people follow their own flesh and people do other things, you know, we can stand by the truth and stand by what the Lord has given us. And by the grace of God, it can be the means of the salvation of our families and our children, our grandchildren, and our posterity. We were gathered together just last night. And here again, I looked around, just glanced around. Here's my children. Here's the grandchildren. The house is about full. And I thought, but by the grace of God, where would they be today? Where would they be? But by the grace of God, where would I be? Where would you be? Are we going the right direction, or are we putting our feet down and dragging our feet? And the pricks are coming. The Holy Spirit is dealing with us. He's speaking to us. And are we resisting the pricks, resisting God? Or are we walking in every ray of light that God has given us? Are we allowing him to try to make an example out of us, clean us up and purify us, and clean our thoughts up and clean our hearts up and clean the way we dress up and help us to live a holy life, getting us ready for a holy heaven? God wants us to be a clean people and a purified people that's been tried in the fire and come out pure and holy. The dross has been all taken away, and he can look in there and see his very presence in our hearts because of his work, the work of the precious blood. Jesus went through some things, some real terrific things for each one of us. He knelt down and he prayed there in the garden, the Mount of Olives. And this angel appeared unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Thank the Lord, for the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. I had to think, and some of you will know what I'm talking about when I say what I'm going to say. This statement in Psalms 35, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's good to become a Christian, and the only way that you can become a Christian is by being born again. And I don't like this theory that about being saved clear on out until you leave the world. That's not the way the new birth is. The new birth is you are born again. You are saved. The jailer said, What must I do to be saved? And the young ruler said, What must I do to have eternal, inherit eternal life? And we don't just take a birth and drag it out for 80 years, but there's a new birth. We are saved. We're ready for heaven. We're not mature. So at that point, we start growing. Like a little kernel of corn begins to grow, but it doesn't grow until there's like that new birth. It's, you see the little thing coming through the ground, and next thing you know, it gets on up, and we expect it gets on up, and the tassel comes, and the silks, and then the ears, and the fruit. And so we must be born again. But that's not sufficient. We're going to have to go on and continue to walk in the light. A lot of people have started out right. Some of them have been flattered by the devil. They were doing good, and people patted them on the back and encouraged them. And the devil, if he can't get you by discouraging you, he'll sit down on your shoulder and tell you how good you are and how good a Sunday school teacher you are, or you really are a good singer, or you're a good talker, you know, you can really talk to people. And he'd like to get you all puffed up and lose the way. He doesn't care how he gets us. But this one man, and here's where some of you may know what I'm talking about, wrote a book. And it was something about weeping in the night and joy coming in the morning. And he told about his experiences and being out there in the hippie crowd way back there. And I remember when that was taking place. They called themselves, a lot of them that were supposed to be Jesus people. There were some of them that didn't have anything to do with Jesus. But they were a crowd that had rebelled usually against the establishment. And they maybe had rich parents. And they rebelled against what they saw as hypocrisy, maybe churchgoers, but didn't practice what they preached. And so they rebelled against it and went out and lived a lot of times awful lives, just lived for the devil, lived for the flesh, a lot of times in filth And debauchery. This man wrote a book about his experience, and I appreciated it very much. And he came in to the store, and I bought a number of his books and put them on the rack. And I did not know what happened, but you know, today I can say it's good to get in. It's good to get saved. It's good to be born again. But if you don't keep walking in the light, there's no telling where you're going to end up. We have to continue to walk in the light. A number of years later, the same man came with me and into the bookstore. And he saw some of his books there, and he grabbed them and was just going to jerk them off the rack. And I said, no, I like that book. Just leave it there. Well, he hadn't ended up at that point where he is today, and I really don't know where he is today. But we don't have to go that way. We can start out right, and we continue to live for the Lord, and we can end up right. We can live for him and walk in the light and shun the very appearance of sin and Satan and all that. We can hate. The scripture says that which is highly esteemed in the eyes of man is an abomination in the sight of God. You can just notice if the world's flocking to something, it's probably not a good place for you as a Christian to be. If they like to go to a place where the filthy jokes are flying, it's not just probably not a place, it is a place that you want to stay clear away from. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I'd like to just look, especially in closing, at that one couple of verses there in Psalms 126, where he speaks about the one that is just walking in the light. And he's going through some struggles, some rough places. But he has a burden for those that are not right with God. He has a burden for some of those that are slipping this way or that way. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So I'd just like to encourage every one of you that know the Lord personally as your Savior. Stay in the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And if you've slipped, acknowledge if you've done something wrong. Get it taken care of. Time is quickly running out. Things are shaping up fast. If you knew all about the things that are behind what's going on around this old world, we'd know that, like someone said, like Brother Murray mentioned it, that we are in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last hour of just before Jesus comes again. We don't want to put it off.